All right, guys. Welcome to the first ever episode of the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. Bruce, my co-host here. Bruce, welcome. How's it going?
Good.
All right. Well, I guess we'll get right into it. So the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is a fantasy hockey podcast focusing on hockey-related news, fantasy hockey tips, and everything hockey. So, Bruce, how are things? What's going on tonight?
Hey, my fantasy team won.
That's awesome. Yeah, the last few weeks, you've been absolutely crushing it, actually.
I've been league leading. I've been very fortunate. My team doesn't have injuries or COVID. Well, a couple of COVID issues, but team's playing well, so I don't want to jinx it. So
don't get ahead of yourself.
Exactly, right?
I guess before we get too far into it, my name is Devin Davidson. I am the other host of the podcast here. My team looks like also won this evening here. I didn't actually check the latest scores, but I think I did come out on top there over Tyler. So that's good. We're talking ESPN hockey here, by the way. And I guess it's the final week of the regular season, right? So we're moving into the playoffs here this week.
Yeah, playoffs are Monday. Let's start Monday, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I may have managed to squeeze out a first place win during the regular season, which kind of puts me in a good position for the playoffs. But beyond that, I don't know. I'm pretty leery about you and Team Micro Shorts here.
Well, you don't have to face him. We have to face him if I continue on. So
that is true. Yeah, that's the one benefit of kind of coming out on top in the regular season. I'll get some easier competition through the first half of the playoffs.
Yeah, because if you check the bracket, he's on my half of the bracket. So,
yeah, you guys just kind of go at it for a bit, and I'll take over who's left.
Just pick the bones.
We'll see. It's not going to be easy no matter which way you slice it, I guess. But
no, it certainly is not. Especially with COVID and everything. You just never know what one week to the next one it's going to bring.
No, day to day, you just got to take it as it comes, and be prepared to make some changes on the waiver wire and whatever.
Absolutely.
I guess I'm excited. We're finally doing this. We've been talking about starting the podcast here for a while, and just scheduling conflicts and whatever. We haven't been able to jump into it, but here we are, April 18th. It's a little bit late. Obviously, we're kind of at the end of the regular season. Maybe a bit of a strange time to get started, right? But I think we both wanted to get a jump on the podcast and kind of just get prepared for next season more than anything, right? I mean, we've got some stuff we want to talk about here, but we want to set ourselves up and get moving and get the website going. And hopefully, I guess the point of the podcast here is we want to provide maybe some entertainment, but also some information, right? We want to make sure that we're providing some value for people that are listening and trying to guide them to some success in their fantasy seasons, because, you and I are just a couple of fantasy hockey hacks, right? We're not beat writers. We're not journalists. We're just guys who love the sport and spend a lot of time on it. And I think that you spend a lot. Yeah, exactly. but we love it, right? And we're up to date on the latest news. I mean, I think everyone in our league, and two leagues actually, we've got one ESPN league and one Yahoo league. Yeah. And I think between you and I, we spend as much time as anybody on those two leagues. So, just kind of pass along some of that knowledge, right?
Absolutely. You bet.
So I guess with that, we'll get into it. First thing here, hockey-related news. So big story in the NHL this week is Patrick Marleau setting the record for most NHL games played. I guess official as of last night, right? He 1,767 NHL games played, 1,196 points, which is his 23rd NHL season. He's 41 years old from Aneroid, Saskatchewan. Good old Saskatchewan boy. And to me, one of the really cool things here is he tied Gordie Howe for most games played, which is another Saskatchewan boy. So your thoughts on that?
That's absolutely amazing. Like, it's to play that many games in the NHL is absolutely incredible. Like, you look at a lot of these players now, they come up, you get 3-4 years, you consider that a decent career, right? It's his 23rd season. Like, my son is 28, so it's like, holy cow, right? 41 and still playing meaningful minutes on the team, right? So for San Jose, he's It's not like he's playing 10 minutes a game. He's playing. So it's, he's playing, he's contributing. Playing, it's,
yep, 50, it, 60 minutes a night. Yeah.
Fantastic. So it's, yeah, all the best to him. Cause that's, yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah. And he acknowledged that too, you know, in his presser before the game last night. He said, a lot of things have to go right. I've had a lot of support throughout the years to make that happen. He's got four kids at home too, right? So his wife is always there to support him, make sure the kids are happy, and he's always traveling. And
yeah,
it's just a really cool story, right? I mean,
very much so.
Yeah,
very much so.
No, that's cool. Speaking of Gordie Howe, I don't know if I ever told you this story, but when I convocated from university in 2010, the University of Saskatchewan was actually presenting him with an honorary doctorate from the U of S.
Oh, wow.
So everyone that convocated that year had an opportunity to cross the stage, get their diploma, and shake Gordie Howe's hand.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So for me, on June 3rd, 2010, I got a chance to walk across the stage, get my diploma, and shake Gordie Howe's hand. And that was, that's something I'll never forget. He's a real presence. Even at his age, he was you could tell, right? He's an intimidating guy. Like, he's huge. But that's something I'll never forget. He was really cool. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I guess moving on from that, the Vancouver Canucks. So their games were postponed. I believe their last game played was March 24th.
Yeah, they said 25 days between games.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Like, to be shut down for that long. And yeah, it's.
And nothing that, you know, we've never seen anything like this before where, you know, games missed or delayed. I mean, one team sits out for 2 or 3 weeks like this. It's kind of crazy. The NHL. Go ahead.
I don't even think the Olympic shutdown was that long, was it, when they played in the Olympics? I think it was only a couple of weeks, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So.
And that was the entire league. That wasn't just one team. So but
that's right.
Be off for basically almost a month. That's just like, that's wow.
How do you come back from that, right?
Well, they did a good job. They beat the Leafs in overtime tonight. So,
yeah, that's incredible. And Bo Horvat, right? Did he have 2 goals tonight? Yeah.
He had 3 points. I don't remember what exactly it was, but he had 3 points. So he was in on every one. So,
and that's just, how's that for leadership, right? Your captain comes out after 2 weeks or 3 weeks away, and just basically carries the team on his back and makes it happen. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and hope he's still on his head, right?
Yep. Yeah, I was just going to say that's the other story from this one is Braden Holtby. I think Sheldon O'Keefe said after, you know, he made 10 point blank saves. And
yeah,
like you had said earlier, right? He did his best Dominic Hasek impression.
Yeah, that one save, it's on the Twitter feed. It looked like he got part of it, and looks like he got the rest of it with his pad. And it was incredible.
That's really cool. No, I'm a big Braden Holtby fan, right? I mean, I think I've told you before, I know his family, right? We're both from Lidminster, and so I know his sister quite well. We used to curl together and we were friends and stuff like that. And so it was really neat to see him have the kind of success he's had. And when he won the cup in Washington, that was awesome. I was just so happy for him. And so it's good to see him have some success here tonight, because I know he's had a tough time this year in Vancouver. You know, COVID aside, it's been a tough time with the play of the team and himself and Thatcher Demko, right? He's looked really good this year.
Yeah. Demko as of late, well, before COVID, was looking really good. So it's.
Yeah. Well, and that's too bad he couldn't jump back in tonight, right? I guess he's still feeling some of the effects from COVID here.
Yeah. They said, from what I read, he was off the COVID list, but he's not 100% yet. So, or not well enough to play anyway.
And I guess that brings us back to what I was originally going to mention here about the situation was JT Miller's comments, because the NHL wanted to push these guys back soon, right? I think it was Friday night when
they wanted to play Friday against the Oilers and then Saturday night against the Leafs. So it was, they're supposed to play a back to back right out of this gate coming back. And yeah, that's
JT
a tough
Miller just said, no, thanks. Right. Like that's not going to happen.
It's like they'll do it if they have to, but it's like, yeah, you're just setting the boys up to fail. Like, you trot the Oilers in first with McDavid and Draisaitl, and then follow them up with the Leafs and what they've been doing. Like, kudos to the Canucks for getting Grandio to hard win tonight, but really, it's like, yeah, that would have been tough for them to do Friday and Saturday. So it's good on the Players Association, the players, for standing up and saying, hey, like, this isn't right. We got to give them a couple more days to get their feet under them. And
yeah,
because they had only had, if they would have played Friday, they would have had, I don't even think, one full practice under them. And it sounds like they got a couple of practices in and a skate in. So that's good.
I had heard it was something similar to the Buffalo and the Jersey situation, where they're kind of given a practice back, and then the game was kind of the next day. Like it was just, they kind of threw him back into it, right? It was just not good. I guess in related news, the Leafs, sounds like they lost Hyman tonight.
Yeah.
I guess you saw the hit, right? So maybe talk about that a bit.
Yeah, I just saw the clip on the highlights. So it looks like Edler went in to make a hit and Hyman went around him, and on the way around their knees hit together, and Edler kept going and Hyman went down. So from what I read, it was the same knee here in 2019 where he tore his ACL. So we'll see what the Leafs didn't have an update for him on tonight. Most likely it'll be tomorrow. So hopefully he's okay.
That's a big loss.
Great,
for them.
But it's,
well, if he's out for any amount of time, right? That's not ideal.
No, definitely not.
So I guess we'll wait and see. We'll report back on that.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I guess I don't know that we have any other hockey related news we really want to jump into right at the moment. I guess we wanted to mention, moving forward as part of the podcast, we do want to kind of, we're going to jump into guest interviews, right? I mean, we, obviously you and I have, we have all sorts of witty banter we want to get to and hockey related news, but we want to bring in some other people too, to kind of give their perspective on things and whether that's DFS picks. I mean, you know, you and I aren't necessarily DFS guys. We don't gamble on the sport. But there are a lot of people out there who really, that's what they want to hear about. And I think we're going to try and get into that a little bit, but we'll bring somebody else in who actually knows more about it than we do.
Yeah, for sure. So it's not my strength. So
no. And, beyond that, I think we'll bring in some guys. I've already got a couple guys here I'm looking at that, they maybe have a journalistic background or a hockey background that can come in and talk about some fantasy hockey stuff for us as well. And I guess, beyond that, maybe Tyler might still jump on the podcast for this year at some point. I haven't heard back from him yet, but
that'd be good.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to have his insight as well. We can kind of get into, he's the commissioner, for all you guys listening, he's the commissioner of our ESPN league. We've been thinking about some fun segments you can have with him, and I think that would be interesting. So hopefully we can get him on. Even if it's just a guest, I think he'd be really good. So
I think so.
So, okay, moving along. The next thing we want to get into here was the trade deadline winners and losers. So I guess the 2021 deadline here had 17 trades involving 26 players. I mean, I think, Bruce, you tell me, I think it was more active than maybe most people were kind of expecting it to be.
I think so. And it looks like a lot of the big stuff got done the night before, right? It's Taylor Hall went Sunday night to Boston. That was kind of everyone was waiting for, right? Where is he going to go? Return was a bit of a... Go ahead.
Underwhelming.
Yeah, it was a bit underwhelming, but as Hall said too, he utilizes no movement clause to steer where he wanted to go. So I'm guessing there was probably better deals out there, but this is the where Hall wanted to go, and he had that right contractually, so he exercised it, and that's the way they had to go. So it's,
well, and good for him, because you know what, you and I have talked about this before. He's basically played on bottom feeders his entire career.
Yeah.
2010, he comes in as a first overall pick, and the Edmonton Oilers were not a good team for another 7 years, basically, until they made the playoffs in 2017.
Yeah.
16-17.
And when they made the playoffs in 17, he wasn't with them. He'd been traded already.
That's right. And so, no, good for him to land in Boston. I know a lot of people were really thinking he wasn't going to wasn't going to do much, right? After having two goals in Buffalo for the entire season, it kind of looked like maybe he was on the decline already, which I never felt that way personally. I thought if you can get him to a team with some, elite caliber players, he could probably turn it around.
Yeah.
And, you know, that sounds funny because he came from Buffalo where he had Jack Eichel, and everyone said in the offseason, well, playing with Jack Eichel, I guess, Bruce, you can probably attest to that as much as anybody because you had drafted Taylor Hall in our ESPN league.
Yeah, and both of them. I had Hall in both Yahoo and ESPN, and I had Eichel in Yahoo too, so that one hurt when he went down. And yeah, but now that Hall's in Boston, he's point per game now. I think he's had a point in every game now for Boston.
Yeah, he's so. two goals and a plus three. Is that what he is?
Yeah, he had an assist today, I think.
Okay, so he's looked good, right? I mean, yeah, on that line with Krejci and Craig Smith.
I think the comments I read was the first period he kind of looked like a little bit of a deer in the headlights playing with Boston. But they said by the middle of the third period, it was like the Taylor Hall of old. It was smooth, good zone entries. He was flying. He said by the third period, he had figured it out and he was flying. And well, obviously it's been point per game since. So he's right now, he looks like he's fitting in nicely with the group. So.
Yeah, no, he's looked really good. I, in our league, in the ESPN league, I picked up David Krejci, it was 2 weeks ago, maybe. And, you know, he'd been good. I mean, I can't remember what his stats are here, but at the time he'd had 23 points in 30 games or something, and that was without Taylor Hall on his line.
Yeah.
And that was kind of before Craig Smith even had kind of gone off. So,
with
Craig Smith and Taylor Hall on that line, and Krejci had two goals today, actually. So he's looked really good since I picked him up here, too.
Yeah. And I've had Smith for just over a week now on my ESPN team. Yeah, that whole line has been great. So they got a two-headed monster now. They're in Boston. The first line doesn't get you. The second line will, right?
And that's always been their MO, right? In Boston, it's kind of been that one line. They've been top heavy, and one of the best lines in hockey, right?
Oh, absolutely, hands down. It's
like Brad Marchand. I've got Brad Marchand. I drafted him in our ESPN league this year, and again, he had two goals today, and he was he's been phenomenal all year long. I think he's, top five or top 10 in scoring. And a guy that provides category coverage, right, too, because not just shots and goals, but also hits and PIMs. And, under normal circumstances, maybe not quite as much this year with the PIMs, but he's a guy that I haven't drafted in the past, but I got to say I'm pretty impressed with him this year.
Yeah, I know that they've all been well, and they've all been, with Pastrnak coming back, they've all been healthy, right? So,
yeah.
And usually at some points, they've either been, one of them has been injured at some point, but once Pastrnak was healthy after his off-season surgery, I think it was, they've been great.
Well, and I should just mention, I drafted Pastrnak as well. I went pretty Boston heavy this year. But, in past years, I think even last year, you and I, or maybe it was the year before, we had kind of worked out a trade where I had got Pastrnak from you, but he was injured, right? And the talk was he was kind of coming back from injury, and by the time he'd actually come back, I think I had him for maybe a week. So, I've been chasing Pasta for a while, and finally I drafted him this year. I think I got him in the late third round in our ESPN draft.
Yeah.
And instantly, just immediate returns. He's been phenomenal. So
absolutely.
I guess moving on from Boston here, one thing I wanted to really get into is the Capitals trade for Anthony Mantha, Jacob Vrana for Anthony Mantha. There were some other parts to that trade too, I guess I should maybe mention, but
that was the big part of it though, right? So basically it's Vrana for Mantha and miscellaneous parts on both sides. Oh, I guess not miscellaneous parts. Detroit got a couple of nice picks out of that too, if I remember correctly. So
yeah, it was a 2021 first round pick and 2022 second round pick. So, the Red Wings in exchange for Rana and Richard Panik. There's some people out there that will say the Washington Capitals overpaid for Anthony Mantha, and that may be the case. But you know what? I look at it, and he was impressive in his debut. And he's basically been impressive since, right? I think he's up to 4 points in four games too since being picked up.
Yeah, he's looked
great, I should say.
Yeah. And I think it's good for both teams. The Capitals needed someone that could play on the second line. They didn't have confidence that Verhaeghe could do that, even though like Verhaeghe had, I think, 25 goals last year. But Mantha's a big body, right? So he's what, 6'4", 6'5", or something? He's big, right?
Yeah.
He's got a laser. Yeah, he's got a laser for a shot too, right? So he seemed to, they dropped him in on the second line, and it's like he's been playing there his entire life. So it's,
yeah,
he's played really, really well there. And I think Verhaeghe will be a good fit in Detroit too, because like you looked at, well, I think I showed you that last week. They have like all of their players have expiring contracts either this year or next year. Like it's, like they can turn their entire roster over in less than 2 years. Like it's,
well, yeah. What did you say they had? Something like 7 or 8 players remaining heading into next season for the Detroit Red Wings?
Yeah. Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like it's,
like I've never seen something like that where the entire roster basically turns over and they can essentially start over if they choose to.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So just bringing it up here. So when you get to the 2023 season, as it sits right now, they have 2 players under contract for the 22-23 season. That's Panic and Larkin. Everyone else was either a UFA or an RFA. So they have, for next season, they have 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 players signed for next year.
That's crazy.
Like it's,
and yeah, good for them. They've set themselves up for some success here moving forward.
Yeah. And too, like even after this, they're still not a pushover team. They're still going to push. They've beat some pretty good teams as of late. So
yeah, they've been playing really well actually. And
yeah,
you know, well, and again, Verhaeghe, talking about Verhaeghe, he scored in his debut and I think he's looked pretty well. I think he's a guy who's just kind of looking for an opportunity, right? Like once he was kind of in the doghouse in Washington and now he's going to get a better opportunity.
Yeah. He could never break into the top six in with Capitals. And I think now that he's on it all, he'll be on the first line with Larkin. So he'll get lots of opportunity to do whatever he needs to on there to.
Well, and first unit power play time too, right? In Detroit.
Yeah.
Like top six time aside, he's going to get a chance on the first line, in the first power play unit, which he wasn't going to get in Washington.
No, he would be lucky to get onto the second one in Washington, right? So it's the way they're, the way they're lined up now.
Okay. Well, I guess the next trade we kind of wanted to get into was, the Tampa Bay Lightning bringing in Savard. Do they have a chance now to repeat as Stanley Cup champions in 2021 here? What do you think?
Well, I think so. Really, you take a look at even the pluses and minuses in the offseason. That's still a really good team. So, yeah, they've played this entire season without Kucherov. So he'll most likely come back just before or as the playoffs start. I know there was some interesting news here when they put Stamkos on long-term injured reserve. It was to flare up space to bring Kucherov back, but I've quickly read that that's not the case. He's not going to be back before the playoffs. So just to make some cap space for them to do some moves in that. But yeah, I think they're definitely in the running for repeating. Vasilevskiy has been nothing short of outstanding.
Another one of my draft picks this year. I just like to mention that. Well, I had the 9th overall pick right in our draft, and I think it kind of came down to him. And I had a couple options there, but I just thought if there's one goaltender who's a workhorse goaltender, it's Andre Vasilevskiy, and he's been outstanding, like you said, just all season long. I get concerned because sometimes I'll check the scores for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they'll be getting smoked. And I'll look, and it's of course it's Curtis McElhinney.
It's the backup goalie.
Yeah.
So we
and then I kind of settled out. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, we had talked about that before the draft too. If there was a goalie that a person was going to take in the first round, he'd be the one to take, right? Because it's the team around him is incredible, right? So it's, and he's shown in the past couple of years that he has no trouble carrying a team.
He's a true number one workhorse goaltender.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
so,
no,
I, yeah, no, I, I, Sorry, I agree. I think they're set up this year to go deep in the playoffs again.
Savard gives him a little extra depth on defense and a little extra pushback there. So he's a fairly physical guy. So he's not going to put up a ton of points, but he's a stay-at-home defender. So he won't be out of position when someone's coming around.
No, and who are they pairing him up with here, David Savard? Is he...
I'm not too sure.
It looks like Ryan McDonough. So he's on the second pairing here. Yeah. I mean, to me, David Savard is a guy who... Like you said, he plays well defensively, but I think he's going to, he does have some offensive upside, right? Like he's not a guy that you're going to rush to the wire and pick up based on his offensive output, but it's there, right? On a deep team, he's probably not, you know, you'd have to be in a very deep league to really look at picking up David Savard. But for the Lightning, you know, real NHL hockey, I think that's a good pickup.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because in Columbus, he was behind, what, Werenski and Seth Jones, right? So you're not going to get much of a chance behind those two guys. So
no. But you know, he had flashes, right? Where he'd kind of go coast to coast and he'd pot one and like he didn't get much of a chance, but you'd see it every once in a while in Columbus there. Yeah. Moving on from that one here, one thing you had picked this guy up, is Devan Dubnyk for the Colorado Avalanche. So, you know, I'd said that's just for them. That's a move to solidify their goaltending. And just as luck would have it, Philip Grubauer goes into COVID protocol.
Yeah.
Just so it's like lucky you picking up Devan Dubnyk. And then I think it was like the next day, Philip Grubauer goes into COVID protocol. So tell me your thoughts on that.
Yeah. So, the last time I did this, I forget who had gone into the protocol and I had picked up the backup and I dropped a pretty good guy to pick him up. And yeah, it turns out it was a false positive and then I ended up losing him on waivers. So, But yeah, like I saw the thing in the morning that Bednar had confirmed that he was on the COVID list. So okay, they're not talking false positive. So I figured, well, I'll jump on it, right? And great that I got him. But then 2 days later, two other guys go on there and they paused them for a week now. So
yeah,
by the time they come out of it, it's
you know that affects a lot. Not just yourself. I mean, obviously, you've got a couple stellar players in. Kale McCarr and Nathan McKinnon. You know, but now there's, for myself, I've got Samuel Girard. And, you know, so that's just too bad, right? The next, their games have been postponed through Tuesday. But I think, you know, for me, Devan Dubnyk, he's shown in the past, he can be a number one goaltender, right? Like he's a guy who can carry the load. When he was in Arizona and Minnesota, you know, two different times, he was absolutely lights out.
I've always been a big fan of Dubnyk back even when the Oilers drafted him, right? So he didn't have a very great team in front of him there, so he got shelled a number of nights just because the Oilers couldn't defend. So, and then they shipped him off and he kind of got bounced around there for a bit and he wasn't sure what he was going to do. And then I forget what he had said about the hockey. He was pretty much ready to retire. Then he thought, well, you'll give this camp a try. And it totally made him rethink how he played the position. And after the camp, he wanted to give it another try. So the Coyotes gave him he signed for basically the league minimum at the time to play and then completely outshone Mike Smith there and took over the number one spot. And then at the deadline, I think he got traded to Minnesota and the rest is kind of history after that. He's had a few good years there. And in the offseason, he signed with
San Jose,
right? Yeah.
They picked him up. And I mean, again, San Jose is a team that I think most fantasy owners are probably fading a bit, right? Like you look at that team, they've got some guys, Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, who typically have been number one defensemen in real life and in fantasy hockey. But Brent Burns has had, you know, a terrible year by his standards. Erik Karlsson, he's kind of been fading for the last couple of years here now. Due to injuries and personal, you know, problems and issues aside. So Devan Dubnyk comes into a tough situation there. Martin Jones was kind of treated as the number one regardless, right?
Yeah.
I was surprised by that. Like, what do you think? I thought Devan Dubnyk would get a lot more playing time in San Jose than he did.
Yeah, so did I. I kind of figured there'd probably end up being a duel for who would get the most starts there. And to see Jones get the majority of my, I was surprised too. But then they have a lot of money invested in Jones too. So it's
fair enough. Devin Dubnyk here, you know, season stats, he's got 14 games started, 4 wins, .899 save percentage, and a .317 goals against average. So, you know, not great numbers in his last 7 days since moving to Colorado. I mean, in his initial start, he had a .912 save percentage. He did win his first game there against St. Louis. You know, so good for him, but that's also a team in St. Louis that is not performing right now, right? I mean,
yeah, no,
Stanley Cup winner from 2018, they do not look good.
No, they kind of look like a bit of a shell of themselves from what they've looked at it in past years. So,
yeah. So, all right. Well, moving on. Next year that I had on my list to talk about was Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac. They were quiet to start for the Islanders, and I think they've still been fairly quiet, if I'm correct. Palmieri, I picked him up early. You know, he had a power play goal in his third game, and he's got good line play, like good line mates with J.G. Pageau and Oliver Wahlstrom, I think, to start there. I'm just going to confirm that here. But so, you know, to me, he's a guy who he's put up consecutive 20-goal seasons. He does have some category coverage with shots on goals and hits coming from a bad team in New Jersey. And looks like tonight he was actually moved onto the second line with Brock Nelson and Michael Dal Cole. So, and he's playing on that first power play unit. Nope, I stand corrected. He's actually been moved off that first power play unit. So, I don't know. Your thoughts on Travis Zajac and Kyle Palmieri?
I thought it was a fantastic trade when I saw it. It's Lou Amarillo at his best again, right? Lou always seems to know how to do that, right? So,
yep.
It'll take him probably a few games to get into Barry Trotz's system. So it's more on defense than it is offense. So you'll get your chances off the rush as opposed to somewhere where the Oilers, where they tend to be more high flying. But no, yeah, good because.
Sorry, go ahead.
I see. Defensively, Palmieri and Zajac are both good defensively. So they'll be responsible once they figure out their way in the system. But yeah. The Islanders were never built to be to blow you out of the water. They're built to win the 1-0, the 2-1, or the 3-2 games. That's what they're built for.
Well, and again, the Islanders just won again tonight, 1-0, right? And
yeah.
They had Ilya Sorokin in net. Again, I don't want to talk about just guys I have on my team here, but another guy that I picked up this year, you know, and he's been good. He started off pretty shaky, but he's looked really good. And that Islanders team, they're kind of a win by committee team, right?
Yeah.
They don't have a lot of high flying stars. We've got Matthew Barzal, who I would say is probably their real superstar. But beyond that, it's just kind of a win by committee.
Yeah.
So, and yeah, no, I like that trade. That was a good deal for the Islanders. And that's another team. I think they're poised for a deep playoff run here, right? They made it to the East final last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I can't remember who they lost to. Carolina.
Tampa.
Was it Boston? Tampa?
Didn't they lose to Tampa in the final? Because Tampa won the cup last year, right?
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong, but I thought that's what it was. But anyway, I was cheering for those guys because I've always been a big Jordan Eberle fan, right? Obviously being an Oilers guy. And
likewise.
And he's always, yeah. And actually, the speculation, Taylor Hall to the Islanders, I would have been really excited to see Taylor Hall jump back in a line with Jordan Eberle and maybe Matthew Barzal, but wasn't meant to be, and that's okay. Taylor Hall's doing well in Boston, so.
Yeah, I'm not sure Hall would have fit well there. Hall's defense is not all that great, so I'm not sure how he would have fit into that system. But
yeah, no, that's probably a very fair point.
Although, like from the scoring standpoint, they absolutely could they use someone with Hall's scoring ability? Absolutely, but I'm just not sure he's as well suited in the Islanders' defensive style. Where he traded for in Boston, he definitely fits in with the way Boston plays.
Totally. Okay, moving on. Here we've got Leafs pushing for first Stanley Cup televised in color. So what do you think? I've never been a Leafs fan personally, but you know what? I like their team. They've got some really impressive forwards on that team. They've got lots of goaltender depth. At the deadline here, they go and they added David Rittich as some insurance in goal, and Nick Foligno, you know, as kind of some veteran leadership, some grit, and even provides some offense. So there's talk that once he jumps in after quarantine, he's going to be somewhere in the top six.
Yeah.
So what did you think of those moves from Toronto this year?
I thought Dubas did a fantastic job. He addressed everything they need, right? So goaltending depth, like right now, Anderson's out. Is Anderson going to be back this year? We don't know. Like Campbell, is Campbell actually healthy? Is he actually playing hurt? We don't really know. Rittich will do well, I think, there as well. Even as
depth, right? I mean, if Rittich never plays for you, because you've got Campbell and Anderson, I mean, it's good to know that if one of those guys does go down, because Freddie Anderson and Jack Campbell have both shown that they can be a little bit prone to injury, right? I mean,
yeah.
So good on Dubas for going out and grabbing a couple guys, and then as your fourth option, you've got Michael Hutchinson. Like that's not bad.
No, that's they've got some good depth there. I like the pickup of Foligno. Hopefully, I pronounce his name right.
Foligno.
I love the pickup. Like he was the captain for Columbus. Like it's, you got a hell of a player there. So yeah, he had the 170 point season. So, but it just, yeah, that's, if you're playing playoff hockey, he's the guy you need, where Leafs in the past in their playoffs have gotten pushed around a lot. With the team they've got there now, you got Simmons, Foligno, like Hyman, you got some guys on there that can push other people around. So I think they're going to do well. The only question I would have about the Leafs going into the playoffs is, how healthy is their goaltending going to be? That's the only question I have for them going into the playoffs, is how healthy, and Austin Matthews' wrist. That would be the only other thing.
Yeah, that seems to be a recurring issue. Matthews has been on a tear this year, right? He's 33 goals. He scored again tonight, so he's up to 33 goals in the season. You know, the only concern for me on that team, I don't know if there are many, right? Like, I'm just looking at their roster here. Like
the only thing that can derail them is injuries. That's the only thing. Like, that's...
Yeah.
They should... With the team they've built there, if everyone can be healthy, they will contend. And like you said in the outset, the first time since, was it 67?
Yeah.
That's the last Stanley Cup win. So it's...
Yeah.
They can stay healthy. They've got a chance to do it this year, though. They'll be able to run with Colorado and Vegas and Tampa. They'll give them a run.
Well, you look at their defense. I mean, they've got Morgan Rielly on that top line, top pairing, with Jake Muzzin and TJ Brody on the second pairing, and you got Zach Bogosian as your number six D-man. So that's pretty good. But their fourth line, I mean, Joe Thornton, Jason Spezza, and Wayne Simmons. How many teams can roll out a fourth line like that?
Yeah, that's awesome, right? And all three of them can still play. Like Simmons looks almost rejuvenated playing back there this year. Like it's
totally,
he's having fun. He's out banging bodies and he's having fun again. It's great to see.
And their top six is as good as pretty much anyone, right? I mean,
oh yeah,
Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, and they've got a guy like Alex Galchenyuk, who's a first round pick. You know, he's playing on your left wing, and he's actually looked a lot better too since coming over.
Yeah, well, you've got some. Galchenyuk is a very talented player, and he's got a lot of talented players around him. Like, once they gel, that team's going to be dangerous. Like, it's very much so.
Totally. The next one I kind of wanted to get into here. I guess we'll move on from the Leafs here. I don't want to talk about them too long. Might hurt myself. Is Jeff Carter, does he have some appeal in fantasy moving over to the Pittsburgh Penguins? Here's a guy who, you know, he's kind of floundering in LA, but he's got some Stanley Cup pedigree, and I think playing, whether he plays in the top six or he plays in the bottom six, doesn't really matter, but that's a pretty deep Pittsburgh team. What do you think?
Yeah, I was when I read this on Twitter, I was actually stunned because I had heard that Carter was basically, if you're trading me, I'm retiring type thing. So to see him go to Pittsburgh was really surprising. But then if you think about it a bit, he's got history with Hextall, right? Brian Burke's there. Mm-hmm. Jeff Carter is definitely a Brian Burke type player. And for, yeah, like you said, for fantasy appeal, like with Malkin being out, he'll slide in as the number two center. And then when Malkin comes back, he'll probably, whether they move him down to the third center or they move him out to wing, I think he'll have more appeal in fantasy playing for the Penguins, even on a third line role, than he would have for the LA Kings on where they had him playing, which was what, the second line, I think it was. Behind Kopitar, I think, where they had
him. I think they did, yeah. And so he's got 19 points here in 42 games, 22 PIMs, and 121 shots on goal. So he's a volume shooter, right? I think a veteran player probably helps their face-offs in Pittsburgh. So if you're in a roto league where you're kind of looking for a face-off guy, he might be a good option there too.
Yeah. Pittsburgh is, I think from what I read, Pittsburgh's should make the playoffs, right? So another chance at a Stanley Cup, right? He wasn't going to get that in LA. So it's, no matter what he ends up doing next year, I get another chance to go. And for a player like Carter, another chance that you could see some great things from here going to, he probably isn't going to blow the doors off anything, but he's going to be solid. It's a great pickup for them. It's not something I would have ever expected Brian Burke or Hextall to get someone like Carter in there, and they managed to do that. So that's great. It should be good to see, because they've been playing really well too since even going into the trade deadline. So
yeah, I was going to say, like the Pittsburgh Penguins here, they've now got 59 points. Like, they're just one back of the Islanders and three back of Washington for top spot in the Mass Mutual East Division. So at a plus 26 goal differential, I mean, these guys, they're looking good. And whenever you got Sidney Crosby on your roster, you know, you can never count him out. Like, Chris Letang has stayed healthy, knock on wood. And Geno Malkin is still potentially looking like he's going to come back before the playoffs start here. So,
yeah,
you know, I think they could sneak in but they could have some sneaky appeal here. So,
well, for sure. And you've got Zucker is healthy now. Yeah. That helps, right? Once Kapanen and Malkin both come off the IR. That's a pretty impressive team all of a sudden there on a paper when you see that. So,
yeah, absolutely.
They'll be fun to watch too. Well, it's always fun to watch Crosby play.
Yeah, he's just so smart. I mean,
yeah.
And he's having another good year. Actually, I'm going to just pull this up here. Let me see. Because I think he was on something like a 97 point pace.
Holy cow.
At one point. Yeah. So I'm just going to check that here. And while I'm doing that, I want to get your thoughts on Dmitry Kulikov to the Oilers for a conditional fourth. You know, you and I are both Oilers fans, and they didn't really do a whole lot this year. But for a number of reasons, right? The cap, LTIR, there just wasn't much they could do, right? And they're kind of depleted on draft picks as well. But I all that aside, I mean, I was angry at first, and I've let it go. I understand there wasn't a whole lot they could do. I want your thoughts on Dmitry Kulikov and how you think he can help the Oilers here in their playoff run.
Well, good defensive depth. Obviously, he's another one of those solid stay-at-home defender types, which the Oilers need some help, right? So they lost Cuckoo to the collarbone, and they've had some other issues on the back end with just straight defending, right? So he'll be a solid addition back there. Hopefully the top six can pull it together. We know McDavid and Draisaitl are gonna go out there and score points, but the rest, it's kind of a toss-up to see what are the other, you can drag anyone else along with them or that.
Well, for me, go ahead, sorry.
I was like, that pass from McDavid to Puljujärvi last night in that Winnipeg game, holy cow. Like, Hellebuck just stood there. It's like, holy crap, what the heck just happened to me? It's like, because there was nobody around Puljujärvi right in front of him. And he was literally 4 feet away from him. Like, it was...
And he didn't even get all of it on that shot either, right? He kind of whiffed on it, but he got it up and over Hellebuck's shoulder there. So, and I love to see Puljujärvi score because he has got to be one of the happiest guys when he scores.
That smile is infectious. Absolutely. It's amazing. I am so happy for him. So,
What a turnaround, right? Like to go from double hip surgery, going back to Finland to play, and then all of a sudden he's back on the Oilers roster playing on the line with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah, and it looks like he fits right in with those guys, right? It's been good. So
you can tell he's just having fun again, right? He's just out there playing hockey, having a good time. So it's good to see. Back on the Dmitry Kulikov front here, the thing I like about that trade, like he played some hard minutes for New Jersey this year. He's got a little bit of bite to his game. And what I really like is that he's actually just pushing guys back to where they should be, right? So Chris Russell going from your second pairing left side down to your third pairing, that makes a world of difference, right? That's having just defensive depth. That's what you need in the playoffs. And a guy like Caleb Jones is now being kind of pushed out of the top six, which in my opinion right now he should be because he hasn't been playing this well or playing well this year. So, in terms of fantasy, does Kulikov bring much? No, not really.
Probably not.
In Edmonton, it's kind of the Darnell Nurse and Tyson Barrie show on defense, and that's about it. So going back to Pittsburgh here really quick, Sidney Crosby this year is on a 93-point pace.
For 56 games.
Well, that's an 82-game played pace, yeah. Right now, he's at 50 points in 44 games played. But, that over the course of regular season, 93 points, he's having another good season.
Absolutely. Some of the plays he makes on the ice, he makes it look so easy. It's just incredible.
He is awesome to watch for sure. So I guess that's kind of all we had for the trade deadline here. And I guess, Bruce, that kind of covers off our first episode of the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast. So I guess beyond that, we're just going to say thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We will see you in the next one.
Sounds good.